As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Shouts out to everybody who got through the day without taking a nap. Pulled an all-dayer. Pretty tough, yo.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! Over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love that. Hit the like button, subscribe, podcast listeners. 5-star ratings and reviews. Little programming note for the rest of No Dunks week. Tomorrow, which is Thursday, we're going to do the drop. Yeah, we're coming at you a day early with the drop, so we'll have some rapid fire fun, whatever else we get up to with the drop. Because on Friday, no new live show, but we got something special because Trey and Tass have already done a film session with the directors of the excellent new documentary Handle With Care, The Legend of the Nautic Streetball Crew. We saw this movie together over All-Star Weekend.
Yes.
It's phenomenal, and it is now streaming on a lot of platforms. So seek that out. Handle With Care. Anyway, that's Friday. It'll go live on YouTube at 10. Podcast will go up soon after, around the same time. And you guys had a discussion with the two guys that made the movie.
Had a discussion and entered into negotiations for some future No Dunks content as well.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to listen and watch that one. So that's on Friday. Drop tomorrow. This show, though, we got a lot of NBA games to talk about. We got some beach stepping. Rondo has officially retired. We've got a fascinating tweet from Worldwide Wob. But yeah, let's start with Joel Embiid. He's back.
He's back, baby.
All day long. It was looking like he wasn't going to play, and then suddenly, like an hour and a half before, he's like, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. So he returns, helps the 76ers to the comeback win over the Thunder. No SGA, no J-Dub, but still, he's back after 2 months of no Joel Embiid because of the knee injury, the knee surgery. What did you think? Great Embiid there, 24 points, 7 assists, 6 boards, 3 steals, a lot of turnovers, but in 30 minutes, and the win. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I give it an O for that was pretty odd the way it actually happened, sure. Right? Like, he wasn't at shoot around. Then I heard Tim Bontemps talking on the Hoop Collective this morning. They closed down the lower bowl at right. The center. Embiid got in his workout. He was ready to go. He said, Mo Bamba, don't worry about it. Take the night off. I got this. Played 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I would have thought Embiid coming back would play like 15 minutes, maybe get a 7-minute stint in the first half, 8 in the second, something like that to ease him in. But it looked like and it felt like the Sixers took their time getting him back. It was 8 weeks almost to the day that Embiid was out, and he was moving pretty well. I thought he had the burst to go coast to coast after a steal in the last 25 seconds of the game. Yep. I thought that was pretty smooth.
Yep.
Definitely rusty. You know, he went 0 for 3 on three-pointers, 50% shooting the mid-rangers, took one layup, really got fouled a ton of times, made a bunch of free throws. I thought defensively he was maybe a little slower than he was when he's playing his best, being a rim deterrent and switching out onto guards out on the perimeter. But I thought all in all, probably like a solid B for Embiid in his return here. There are definitely things that are encouraging. 7 assists for this guy. A couple of them came to Buddy Hield on handoffs. That's going to be something that they can utilize going forward. The two-man game with Embiid and Buddy Hield, I thought Kyle Lowry did a nice job on the pick and roll, finding him for the mid-range jumpers, but then also 6 turnovers for Embiid. 2 of them were on charges where he was just driving into a whole bunch of people. The Thunder were doubling him, tripling him, building a wall, doing a lot of different stuff. A lot of the other 4 of his turnovers, they all felt like he was just forcing passes and trying to figure out where guys were. So some ups, some downs, but having him back, that was cool to see to begin with, and they got a win in a thrilling game here, Skeets.
Yeah, for sure. Look, the one thing that didn't leave him here during the break or during the rest was his free throw shooting. He could line a ton, got there 12 times, and hit all 12 of them, and you know some of those important ones down the stretch. He hit 4 in the final 40 seconds. There was that one he took where he did like a spin at the free throw line, like willing it in. That was a little odd. You know, it's Embiid too. He crashed to the floor a couple times and you're like, oh God, I hope he's okay. Right away in this game. Like he was on the ground immediately and Nurse was challenging within like the first minute of the game on the, you know, whether it was a charge or whether it wasn't, the call stood. But he was okay. He just looked like a giant dude that hadn't played basketball in a long time. The touch, the rhythm was a little funky, and then he was just tired after his 3 or 4 minute stints where he's hunched over, sweating buckets, grabbing his shorts. But you're right, the steal at the end was promising. I mean, it was a weird play from Giddy. It's like he just gave it to him.
That was weird.
It wasn't like Embiid made an incredible steal. It was like it just Giddy just coughed it up, and it went to Embiid, and he went the other way and drew the foul and hit the free throws. But yeah, they got the win. I think this is a good sign that he's back now with 6 or 7 games to go here. They say he's going to play on Thursday night. That's the plan. You obviously play the game. Then you see how the knee reacts and how he feels. But, you know, he needs these reps. I think that's what you're seeing. Like, if they're going to make any noise of getting out of the play-in, jumping up to 6th, challenging, you know, the 1st or 2nd seed in a series, he's got to play these couple weeks here. Obviously from conditioning, to get some rhythm with some of these guys that he's never even played with, like you said, in Buddy and Kyle. Maxie wasn't there, too. You want to fold him back in. So they just need some reps to have any chance to still salvage this season.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks here to get his legs back. And, I mean, they're 2 games back of the 6th seed. It's definitely possible getting Embiid back. And if Maxie comes back quickly as well, that they could get up into 6 and get straight up into the first round. Might be better for them, though, to go into the play-in tournament, just keep Embiid on the court, get his legs back under them, get a rhythm under him, but also you would like the assurances of being in the playoffs. I don't know. It's a real catch-22 there. Maybe a catch-21 since it's Joel Embiid. Nonetheless, I was happy to see him back, and some great stuff from Kelly Oubre here. Kelly Oubre dominating in the fourth quarter, 17 points, 4 of 4 from 3, couple rebounds, an assist. A nice one, actually, to Embiid, and a steal as well. So Oubre had a pretty bad first 3 quarters, but he's just saving it.
Trick-or-treat Kelly, man.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of goes left out with him. You're right. He hit those 2 threes to start the fourth quarter that sort of like almost saved the game.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe appearing like it was going to be a bit of a Thunder roll, but Sixers got back into it. And then the Sixers survived the final possession where Isaiah Joe, former Sixer, who they obviously just gave away, he had 2 decent looks at a 3, and then they got another one. That got kicked out to Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams.
He took the last shot.
Yeah, so 3 chances to extend the game, but obviously missed them. And the Thunder, without their guys, I don't think they're going to be like, oh. Though they're fighting for a number 1 seed. So in a weird way, it's a tough loss for them, but you take out 2 of their best players, and it was maybe always going to be.
Tough loss for them, and they're missing like their 2 go-to clutch options in the fourth quarter, and you could tell 7 turnovers in the fourth, 4 OKC, 3 of them from Dort, 2 of them for Chet, and like Chet was just falling over, man. Some of Chet's turnovers, it looked like, whoa, is this your first season in the NBA?
Right.
It is. But he looked very young and looked like he was getting pushed over. That being said, my favorite sequence in the entire game was in the fourth quarter. Paul Reed gets a steal from Chet, takes it coast to coast, dunks, pulls up on the rim. His feet basically touch the bottom of the backboard. Chet says, give it to me. Goes back on the other end, spin move, and 1. Scores on Paul Reed. He starts flexing. He starts, oh, yeah. His hair's just like bouncing like crazy, man. You haven't seen a master poof like this on a good NBA player since the 1980s. He's like Brad Lowhouse out there.
Wow. Just with the hair being so fluffy.
It's so tall. And like every time he celebrates,
it's a good look. So the 76ers are now 27-8 this season when Embiid plays. You know, they were 14-27 when he doesn't. So a completely different team. Hopefully he's good to go Thursday. And that's a big game against Miami Heat when we're looking at 7-8, the possibility of trying to jump up into the guaranteed top six and get into the playoffs. We'll see. Let's keep it going. Jokic scored 42 as he outdueled Wembanyama in the Nuggets 110-105 victory over the Spurs. Let me just give you the stats. Jokic, 42-16. Okay. Three of his baskets coming on dunks.
Come on.
Because he's taking on Wemby. He's taking on the alien. He's like, I better dunk it because the guy just keeps blocking me. And then Wembanyama in the loss, but 23 points, 15 boards, 9 blocks, 8 assists. Safe to say he was flirting with the quadruple double. He was flirting hard. He was sending some sext. Not sex. I was trying to say text, but sext. That's tough to say, really, on a podcast. But anyway, what'd you think of this game? He was sending eggplant emojis or something. I don't know what he was doing.
Like an alien with an eggplant. He said that too. He sent that to the quadruple double makers, man. I thought this was awesome to watch. Yeah. Like two guys, the current best player in the league, the future probably, if we're being honest, best player in the league, playing at the same position. And I love it that Jokic went out and said, that guy's taller than me. He can block my shot a lot, but guess what? I'm going to outrun him. He made it a point to run on Wemby. He had the lefty dunk early. He had the righty dunk in transition as well, where he got it basically on Wemby, who got back in to challenge it. Jokic was like laughing at that one. And then he got another one on a back cut, three dunks in the first quarter. That was incredible. The guy has 16 total dunks now in the season. He had 13 coming in, three in the first quarter. I heard Tim McMahon say that's the most he's ever had in a game. Not surprising when you've got 16 over the course of 75 games. But yeah, this was fun to watch. Those two going back and forth. I think Wemby blocked Jokic four times.
Yeah, I think it was four.
Or something like that. Did he block him on the first possession he had?
I think so.
I don't know. It's cool to see like Jokic figuring out how to actually score over him. Like at one point he shoots a fadeaway hook shot. Very patient. There are times where it's like it looked like Jokic had him for a layup, but then he didn't think he did it, so I'm going to go back to my left, and guess what? Wemby's there to block it. Anyways, incredible stuff. I did think there was a funny moment, though, at the end, kind of the dagger from Michael Porter Jr. Christian Brown, like, has the ball, a chance to attack Wemby. He just goes underneath the hoop. I'm dribbling this one out. It kind of felt like everybody stopped on that because they thought maybe there's going to be a layup here. You would assume there is. Instead, Michael Porter Jr. just wide open for three because everybody's waiting for the block shot.
That was a tie game.
Over. Yeah.
That was 105-105, I believe, when Christian Brown turned down the layup. And Nuggets broadcast was like, what are you doing? And then Porter hits the three. And also, there was another one where Aaron Gordon, a couple minutes earlier, was wide open in the corner. He caught it. He dribbled. There's no one closing out. No one was even coming to challenge. And he thought about shooting it, and most guys would. And he was like, nah, you know what? I'm too open. I'm not in rhythm. He gave it to Jokic, and Jokic scored on Wemby. That was a big play. Down a wide open three, but a couple turndowns worked out for the Nuggets as they got the victory in the end.
I would give Aaron Gordon the game ball for that one.
He played extremely hard against Wembanyama.
Yeah, he was guarding Wemby really hard, and I thought him functioning as the small ball five in the second half was really what turned the game for the Nuggets, because the first half, not great from the Nuggets bench, and it kind of came down to no Jamal Murray in this one, so Reggie Jackson is in the starting lineup. That changes the rotation, but also in the second half, Michael Malone just said, we're good on DeAndre Jordan. We're going with our guys, and it worked out. A tale of two halves for those guys.
I love Jokic after the game. You know, obviously gets asked about Wembanyama. He said, this is Jokic talking about Victor, he's got a good mix of humility, work ethic, and hunger. He says that's like the perfect combination. It's a good combination. That's a great way to put it, and like feels really true after this rookie season. Again, nearly a quadruple double. Didn't shoot all that well. A lot of credit to Aaron Gordon. Yeah. There was some settling from Wembanyama as the game went on. You know, it's a funny thing. It's like Durant in the sense like it's like he can get any shot he wants. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to block him. But sometimes you're like, we could probably get a better shot than that, either ball movement or even you closer to net, whatever. A 7-foot-4 guy rising up and then fading away, it like looks hilarious.
That looks
incredible. It's like, well, that's not getting blocked unless someone's, sneaks from behind, I guess. But great game, really entertaining. Can't wait for one day when we get a Jokic versus Wembanyama playoff series. hopefully in the next couple years.
Yeah, hopefully still while Jokic is at his peak.
In his prime,
right now. I want to get your take on this Aaron Gordon play. At one point, he catches the ball on the left wing, drives in, nice up and under, reverse on the right-hand side, finishes with his right hand, runs down the court looking at his right hand, Skeets. Guy's right-handed. That was awesome.
I mean, that, I don't mind it because I assume it's a joke almost. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Like I guess because it was a pretty finish.
It was pretty.
You know, a little jelly nice. To it that he wanted to let you know that it was with this hand. I don't know. No, I guess not. I take
it back.
You made
a right-handed
You're right-handed,
layup.
Man. Again, most things that we can do, if you're a professional player, you can't be all that impressed. Yeah. If I'm talking about like us, the weekend warriors here, just the amateur basketball players. Come on. You got to tone it down. If it was a joke to the bench, then...
Okay, we got to
follow up with AG. All right, moving on. Sticking at the top of the Western Conference, the Wolves got a win, 113-106 over the Houston Rockets. Nas Reed, drop your Nas Reeds in the chat. Caps locks only. 25 points, 6 boards. I thought Kyle Anderson was really great in this game, coming off the pine. 13 points, 9 assists, 6 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And they probably last night, the Wolves, helped their chances to obviously stay in the running for the number one seed. And we'll show you the standings in a while, but maybe put the Rockets to bed, their season here, when we get to the Warriors also winning. They might be a little too far back now.
Yeah, Rockets on a losing streak, I think,
yeah,
now,
that's
right? And the Warriors are actually playing pretty well. So great march for Houston, and they made it close. We'll see if they're able to keep it together and at least challenge into the last week of the season here. But this reminded me of Nike basketball shoes from the 1990s. Flight versus Force.
Mm.
It was like Scottie Pippen versus Charles Barkley. I always wanted to be a flight guy.
Yeah.
Even though I'm more of a Force kind of player. But this one was Flight versus
Force. You
think
Force. You're more Force than Flight? Back then?
I ain't Flight. That's
fair,
the problem. They didn't make savvy
shoes. I think
shoes.
You're a little bit in between. I think you should have one Flight on the left foot and one Force on the right foot. But.
Well, thank you for saying that. But they never made shoes that were just like craftiness. These are my Nike Air Crafts. Sounds good, though.
It does sound pretty good. You can see, like, SGA wearing a Nike Craft or something.
The Crafties.
There's something to that. Yeah, okay.
But this was Flight versus Force. Houston, 22-9. Fast break points. Minnesota, 52-46. Points in the paint. They also made 20 free throws to Houston's 10.
Yeah.
Though, when it came down to it, the Wolves got their 3 biggest buckets in the lane. Mike Conley hit a runner after a little pick and roll action with Rudy Gobert. I think he shot a little righty floater. Could have looked
at
his
right
hand.
Yeah.
That's craftiness right there. And then Anthony Edwards, 2 monster dunks.
Yeah.
The one with 2 hands down the lane. That was sick. Followed it up with a fast break one a little bit later. That really put the game out of reach for the Wolves. But the only reason it was even close was because Houston caught fire in the fourth quarter. They were 7-for-35 from 3. Through the first 3 quarters, went 7-for-15 in the fourth quarter. It looked like they couldn't miss for a while, got it nice and close, and put a little scare into Minnesota.
Yeah.
On a night when I was like, they played okay. I thought they scrapped. Like, Anthony Edwards went, 5-for-16, went to the line a bunch of times.
Yep.
All of his baskets, though, were in the lane. Couldn't really score from the outside, so they found a way to win and keep pace with Denver.
Anthony Edwards is in a bit of a shooting slump right now. The dunks were huge. The dunks were key. That two-hand down the lane, cocking it back, going around the defense a little bit. Like, that was sort of like the one that put this game away. But I checked. Over his last 6 games, Anthony Edwards has shot just 38% from the field and 19% on threes. If my math is right here, he's missed 22 consecutive three-pointers.
Yeah.
So he's in a bit of a funk. You wonder, like, when Towns obviously went out, Ant was given much more of the offensive load. He carried them for a good stretch here. Is it catching up to him? Is there a little fatigue setting in? I don't know. Maybe it's just a slump. He was asked about it, John Krasinski of The Athletic, and he said, Ant's happy that the slump is happening now, and he knows what's not working. He says, quote, in the playoffs, that shit's going to be butter.
Okay.
what a response to being asked about being in a shooting slump. Yeah, I know it. I know what it is, though. In the playoffs, this shit's going to be butter.
I'm not fixing it now.
His confidence is okay. But he is. He's struggling to shoot, especially the 3-ball. I think he was over 6 in this game. But yeah, that's why you attack the rim if the 3's not falling.
Go to the
hoop. And that's what got it done in the end. Well, let's pivot from the Rockets' loss to the Warriors winning. They overcame a triple-double from Luka. They beat the Mavericks 104-100. what jumped out to you from this game and the Warriors, again, putting some separation between them in the 10th spot and the Rockets in the 11th spot.
The thing that stuck out to this one, from this one to me, was the effort from the Warriors. This, to me, was like a scrap out, we need to get a win on a night when we're not playing all that well. 13 points on 5 of 18 shooting for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And Golden State played incredibly well, and I thought a lot of it was Andrew Wiggins. 23 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, went 50% from the field, made some threes, but more importantly, he was making Luka work. I thought he was so locked in defensively. Luka still does what he does, you know, a 30-point triple-double. You can't stop it, but you can make him work for it. And then on offense, like, Wiggins was so aggressive getting into the lane. He was getting in post-ups all night long. I thought he played really, really well. 11-8 offensive rebounding advantage for Golden State. They gave up, I think, 20 fast break points, but it felt to me like they were making an effort to get back on defense. They were rotating like crazy. Draymond made a couple of great plays here in the fourth quarter, blocking Daniel Gafford at the rim with about a minute and a half left, and he follows it up with a layup on the other end. This was kind of like a real veteranship one. It's like, we've won a bunch of championships together. We got to play our best basketball to even get in the play-in tournament right now. Nobody's playing all that well, but we're finding a way to scrap out a win. So, great effort by Golden State.
That Draymond Green block on Gafford with about a minute 30 to go was amazing. Not only because he basically cut off Kyrie Irving on the drive.
Yeah.
Kyrie dishes it to Gafford, who, last I checked, never misses a shot. He's like, you know, shooting 1,000%, it feels like. But then gets back, Draymond does, blocks him. He's not done. The ball's about to go out of bounds, and he managed to obviously sort of block slash steal it, grab it, and then kick it in, like, all in one motion. And, you know, he starts screaming and flexing. He knew that was a big play. It was awesome. Yeah, and then to score on the other end to extend the lead. Just an awesome game from him. An awesome game from Wiggins. I thought Chris Paul played really well on a night where you said the Splash Brothers were not amazing. But it's like, oh, here we go. They have the longest win streak now in the NBA after the Mavs lost last night. They're at five, and they're now 3 games up on Houston. It's really 4. They have the tiebreaker. So I think we're at least seeing Steph Curry and this team in the play-in, taking on, you know, probably the Lakers there in a 9-10 matchup. We'll see still who has a home court advantage when it comes to that. But
and don't they play each other tomorrow, I think? Houston versus Golden State.
Yeah.
So a play-in to the play-in for Houston, at least.
A must-win Houston Rockets game. It's probably over for them. I think they have like a 2% chance, last I checked, to maybe get into the play-in. But yeah, that's true. They do play this week here. Let's show you the West standings. Let's make some sense of this for everybody here on YouTube. I'll try my best to explain it for the podcast listeners. At the top, after last night's results, Denver sits in the number one seed, 53-23. They're a half game up on the Wolves and the Thunder, who are slotted in 2 and 3. Clippers, they had a loss last night. They're still in fourth. But the Mavs, Pelicans, Kings, Suns, and Lakers, Warriors. And you see there, Warriors up 3 games there on the Rockets. So other games on last night, Trey, you know, Sabonis, 22-20.
That's a lot of roast beef.
That's right. Kings beat the Clippers. Oh, baby. 109-95. That's a big win for Sacramento. Yep. The Lakers crushed the Raptors up in Toronto. The Wizards beat the Bucks. Giannis had a monster line, huge triple-double, but the Wizards helping me out in the Nut Dust Bowl with a big victory. We had the Cavs beating the Jazz, and Terry Rozier, he scored 34 points. He had 8 threes as Miami beat the Knicks by 10. Any of those you really want to touch on?
Well, Bucks-Wizards had my least favorite play of the entire night. The Bucks cut the Wizards' lead to 2. The Wizards were leading the Bucks going into the fourth quarter here. Bucks finally get it down to 2 with Chris Middleton layup, 11 seconds left. They try to press, but they completely forgot about Anthony Gill, who just ran full court. Nice chuck by, I don't know if it was Kispert or Abdia, who was taking the ball out of bounds. Misses the first layup, gets his own rebound, knocks it down, and that to me was just disgusting and kind of indicative of the way the Bucks played last night. They thought that they were going to get an easy win playing against the Wizards, even though they didn't have Damian Lillard, but they didn't give the effort necessary to win that game other than Giannis. Giannis played incredibly well, but the rest of the Bucks didn't really come along with him, so I thought that, like, 10 seconds there where they had a chance to actually steal the game back and got beat on a full court chuck, stupid.
And then we had some great new Doc Rivers quotes coming out of the loss, too. I don't want to read you the whole thing, but he's basically talking about how he's sitting back and watching everyone. Not just the players, but the travel crew. And he's making a lot of notes. And he says, I'm not kidding here. I'm basically reading it word for word. And then he's talking about the professionalism and the seriousness of this team on the road. But it's something Doc Rivers is confident they can fix. Something they're going to have to fix.
In the playoffs, it'll be better.
Yeah. But, man, really just throwing like
the equipment manager took some shots.
Let's
this
go
year.
With hot.
The travel crew. The Bucks just need everybody to be better.
Yeah, I guess
Doc
so.
Doc was going Giannis mode, I guess.
Yeah, that was a bad loss. And I will say about Miami, Terry Rozier, his best game with the Heat. They moved within a half game of Indiana, who didn't play last night, for that number six spot. And the Heat also did their Florida neighbors, I guess, a favor. The Magic leapfrogged the Knicks into number four in the East by virtue of a head-to-head tiebreaker with New York. So Miami doing a couple things there last night in that win over the New York Knicks. Anything else from those batch of games?
I got nothing other on those batch right there.
All right, well, let's move to some news yesterday. Following a 16-year career in the NBA that saw him win a pair of titles and play for nine different teams, former Celtics point guard Rajon Rondo has announced his retirement. Rondo made the announcement during an appearance on the All the Smoke podcast on Tuesday. He left no wiggle room when Matt Barnes asked him, have we seen the last of Rondo here on an NBA court? Quote, absolutely. Yeah, I'm done. I can't. I'd rather spend time with my kids. So it's official from Rondo's mouth himself that he's done. We won't see him back in the NBA. Not that a lot of us probably expected it. He hadn't played in a while.
A couple years here. He's 38 now.
What was his last team? Cavaliers?
His last team was technically the Cavaliers, yeah.
Yeah, a little strange. But, when something like this gets announced, most of us pivot immediately to Rondo. Hall of Fame player. Hall of very good. Like, what do you think? He's a two-time champ. One with the Celtics, one with the Lakers. Yeah. Four-time All-Star. Only one time did he make an all-NBA squad, but four-time all-defensive player. Yeah, what do you think about Rondo's chances? We had a poll up on our YouTube page. I was shocked to see basically 75% of people saying, Rondo, future Hall of Famer. I didn't think it would be that high.
Interesting.
With three out of four thinking so, but where do you fall?
I think probably Hall of Very Good. Hall of incredibly unique players. Hall of guys who don't want to take a layup, but would pass it out for a corner three every single time. I can see him getting in. I definitely can because of what he did with the Celtics. He was a great fourth to the Celtics' big three. Then when Ray Allen left to Miami, he stepped into the number three. I think he was all NBA. I don't know if it was that season or if it was alongside Allen. I don't remember exactly the years. But then in between, he kind of got lost in the wilderness, went to Dallas. Went very badly in Dallas. Went to Sacramento. Stat padded, but led the league in assists. Nobody ever remembers that.
No.
Went to Chicago. Sometimes it was good. It ended bad. He helped divide the locker room. New Orleans was forgettable. Then he was instrumental in the Lakers title that they won in the bubble. Then half seasons with Atlanta, the Clippers. He went back to the Lakers, couldn't regain the Magic. And then, the Cavs, which I don't think I would have remembered. He ended with the Cavs.
No.
So you're really looking at that Celtics run. When he was a really great player, when he was an awesome defensive player and one of the purest point guards out there, had some ridiculous highlights. I'm thinking of a pass to Ray Allen in the corner where he is facing towards the other corner and somehow finds him wide open. Some of the coolest passes you'll ever see. But you're also you're getting your assist dish into three Hall of Famers.
Yep.
You had it a little bit. You were in a good situation. You made the most of it. And he was instrumental to them winning, I think, and becoming the team they were since he was so good defensively at the point of attack. But for me, he's probably Hall of Very Good. That being said, he could easily get in.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm with you. I don't think I would have him in. A big part of it being, he's far from the greatest player on his team ever, right? Maybe not even generally the second best player on a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
You know, he's the third or the fourth guy, and that's fine. He took over for stretches. In playoff series, there were times where maybe he was the best, but over the course of the season, I don't think he would say that. It's wild to think that Danny Ainge traded for him on draft night of 06. The Suns drafted him with the 21st pick. He's dealt to them. And then he didn't play much in that rookie season. But of course, what happens, Kevin Garnett comes there. The big three is formed. And now suddenly he's their point guard. And it was, it was wise. He played that part perfectly because hell of a playmaker. One of the most entertaining passers probably of the last couple decades. Still ranks 15th all time in total assists. He has over 7,500 assists to his name. But man, he sure is memorable. There are a lot of things I'm going to remember about Rondo, whether he makes the Hall or not. First off, the Rondo play.
Yep.
The fake behind-the-back pass into the layup. You already said it. Him frustrating everyone, turning down wide-open layups out to guys. Remember how angry Lee Ellis would get every time Rondo would do that? That would infuriate Lee. Always will remember that.
That guy hated Rondo more than anyone.
You're going to remember the titles, both one with the Lakers and, you know, at the end of his career, and the early one with the Celtics. I think he's only the second guy to ever do that, to win with those two storied franchises.
Who's the other guy?
I'm drawing a blank on the other guy, but there's one more.
It's not Rick Fox.
No, it's not Rick Fox, but who the heck is it? Somebody in the stream team will tell me. I'm going to remember the photo of Rondo's son sipping champagne in the bubble. Was it champagne? Was it cider? I don't know, but a hilarious pick. Getting into it with Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle. He basically quit on that team. That was very bad.
He's despised in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also going to remember that he was incredible at Connect Four.
Yeah.
Every time I see Connect Four, I think of Rondo and people saying like he could play like four people at once.
He would like go to like the schools and play against a ton of kids at the same time, which is pretty funny. Also, I think he's a great roller skater. Rondo with the roller skates. And isn't there like a great gif of him looking at a stat sheet and just, whoa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. True, true,
true. That's a good one too.
And then in regards to like specific series, he had a hell of a battle against your Bulls.
Yeah, he did.
Derrick Rose in the 09 playoffs. First round, it was a 2-7 matchup. Celtics 2, Bulls 7. That thing went 7 games. Rondo averaged 19.4 points per game, 11.6 assists, 9.3 rebounds. He had a triple-double in Game 2. He had 19 assists in Game 6. And that was just an incredible series,
that was an awesome series
between those two teams. And he was amazing, obviously, those stats show. So a few things that I will remember about Rondo. You know what? You could probably add in Charles Barkley yelling, Rondo!
That's definitely a thing.
Because it's just a great name. Yeah, it's just a unique name. And unique player.
Yeah, I got to go back and check because there's one thing I'll also never forget about Rajon Rondo. It's that in that playoff series against the Bulls, Brad Miller went for a layup at the rim. Rondo hit him in the head. Clearly hit him in the head. A flagrant for everybody, but not for Rondo.
Mm.
Brad Miller had to go shoot free throws while concussed.
Oh, boy.
Disgusting.
So, yeah, let us know. Do you think Rondo Hall of Fame worthy, or is he just the perfect Hall of Very Good? And maybe some other things that we've forgotten that you'll remember about Rondo, who has officially called it a career. And we were just talking about, remember LeBron was on, obviously, his own podcast with J.J. Redick talking about Rondo and just, like, the high basketball IQ and the idea, like, this guy could coach. He'd be an incredible coach, but he doesn't want to. Probably because he's like, I'm too smart. I get infuriated with some of these players. It's a possibility. Maybe he just wants to spend time with his family, like he said. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to hit the beach. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, we're back here in the Classic Factory. Let's hit the beach.
You got the buzz, I got the rockets, you got the nuts. I got the chocolates, we got that chit chat down pat, blah blah blah. You got that certain special, je ne sais quoi. Let's go to the beach, baby.
We are on the beach. Beach because it's the only place to read your emails and tweets. And I know what you're wondering. No, we have not yet found out whether Tass Mellis and his family have left the boat to possibly go to an actual beach or to explore the city with this cruise that he's on. We don't know.
Stay tuned.
Yes. He's too locked in.
We'll find out.
He's too locked in to this cruise. All right, first question here from Hundo T. I know y'all already did a preliminary pass when it comes to predicting the 2024 All-NBA teams. Did that a few weeks ago. So let's come at this from another angle. Who do you think is going to be this year's biggest All-NBA snub? Lots of possibilities, because this league is stacked. Congrats on 100K. Thank you, Hundo T, that we hit 100K. Fun question, you know, doing a little predicting here. Going to learn about these All-NBA teams soon enough. Who do you think is going to be the biggest snub, in your opinion?
I think there's going to be quite a few snubs.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a weird All-NBA team because we have a lot of guys who are getting sloughed off just for not making the 65-minute or 65-game limit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, do you consider Joel Embiid a snub? The guy could have won MVP, but he also missed 2 months of the
season. Right.
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, exactly. But I also wrote down some names that I think are interesting. I don't know who to start with. How about Damian Lillard? Is he going to be all NBA?
No. I don't think so. No.
I agree. Like, he was an all-star, and he has had a good season. 24 a game, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, but his percentages are way down. For Lillard, he's like 43 from the field, 36 from 3. He's had some great clutch moments.
Yeah.
The Bucks have struggled when he's been out. When Giannis hasn't played, he's definitely elevated his game. But it just feels a little lacking from Lillard this season. The guy's an all-NBA player 7 times. A lot of the times, if you're close, you're getting the bump. But I don't think he's gonna this year.
No, especially because I think there are at least, off the almost top of my head, 8 guards who are more deserving of a selection. Now, I know it's positionless this year. Like, that doesn't really matter. It's not like we only get to pick from 6 guards, 2 for each team when it comes to all-NBA. But SGA, Luka, Ant, Brunson, Curry, both Tyrese's in Halliburton and Maxey, Booker, who I think is going to be my biggest All-NBA snub, I think they're all above Damian Lillard. I'm not sure you can really make a case that he would be over any of those guys. So, I guess the real question is, will he be considered a snub?
Yeah, exactly right.
Because he's not going to be there. I don't think he is. Yeah. Anyone else?
I mean, when you mentioned Halliburton, I was like, he seemed like a lock to me through the first 3 months of the season. He picks up the hamstring injury, comes back quickly, playing on a minutes limit, and things just haven't been quite the same for him ever since.
Right.
The pull-up three has basically abandoned him in the second half of the season, though he shot it better recently. That guy was like first-team All-NBA through 2023, and 2024, he's just been a good player, and that was a guy that I thought was absolutely going to make it, so... He's still got a chance. He was really, really impressive through the first half of the season, so that might still get him on because those first impressions can last the entirety of the season, but I don't think he's a lock anymore.
Yeah, he's played 63 games, so only needs a couple more to hit the 65-game threshold. Averages 20, 11 assists, 4 boards. Yeah, 48% from the floor, 37 from deep. Pacers have been a feel-good story, especially through the first half of the season. Yeah, My gut says there's going to be a lot of like toss up between sort of him and Maxey, and
probably.
I think Halliburton's going to like eke him out. But that's a good one. Like, again, all those guards I listed, some of them, not all of them that I said, are going to make it.
Sure,
they're not going to have 8 guards on this. So Halliburton, Maxey, like again, like Booker to me, like I bring up Booker because I just looked at the Athletics sort of article where they were picking. They had 3 writers picking their all NBA teams. No one picked Booker on any other squads. Now he's at 61 games, so he needs to play a couple more here, but I mean there's many Suns games where I watch and he's still the best player on the floor.
Absolutely.
And Durant will probably still make this team and deservedly so, but it's like the guy averages 27 a game and has only been all NBA once, which sort of shocked me. I just thought he would be, you know, a lock, and I think he might be a snub.
Surprising, actually.
Yeah, I know it was a couple years ago that he only made his first all NBA selection. He was first team.
Yeah,
all NBA.
I remember that.
So,
he didn't make it last year, huh?
Yeah. No. You know, games
he
missed.
He was banged up last year. That's true. I had the Suns as a question. Like, will both Suns make it? I'm with you. Probably not. And Durant seems more likely. I had the same question for the Clippers. Like, Kawhi, I thought was a lock, but he's tailed off a little bit here. And I don't know if Paul George is quite at that level to make it. But with all of these guys who are missing due to the limits, maybe there's a spot for Paul George there. And then both Lakers? Like, are Anthony Davis and LeBron going to make it? I think probably, yeah. It's just hard to keep LeBron off an
All-NBA team. It's definitely
more
likely both of those Lakers guys make it over either both Clippers, either both Suns, either both Bucks, a lot of teams. Yeah. So, especially the way LeBron has played recently, it's helped his case to jump onto one of these teams again. Yeah, it feels like... Okay, so it feels like if we're selecting our All-NBA snubs that we think are in play here, I think who I will be on, but I think Paul George will be considered a snub.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So Paul George, Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, whether you think he's a snub. And I do think one of the Tyreses is going to get bounced, so it'll be Halliburton or Maxey. We'll see soon enough. Next one here. Hello, No Dunks crew. I went to the Heat-Wizards game the other night, and I got to enjoy watching three off-brand players. Nikola Jovic, Jared Butler, and Tristan Vukcevic. Yeah, not Vucevic. Vukcevic. That one really threw him off. Who are y'all's favorite similarly named players in NBA history? Off-brand players is a hilarious way to put this. That's from Nate. Where do we put NBA referee Courtney Kirkland? He's off-brand, baby. But good question. Do you have any other names? I need
it
like that.
I do. That's like being named Courtney Great Value. Courtney No Frills. That's why I got this jacket. No Frills.
Wow. No Frills. That's only Canadian, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. That's such an awesome name.
That's a crazy grocery store, man. That's just there's shit everywhere. It's like they don't even believe in shelves at No Frills. It's No Frills.
Just
like,
bins.
It's just stuff. Here it is. Help yourself. But yeah, off-brand players. So similarly named guys. Do you have any good ones here?
My number one in NBA history. Don't know literally anything about this guy, but his name is Devin Durant. I found it like accidentally million years ago.
Really good.
And it just sounds very funny. Like... There's a few Durants in the NBA, but this is Durant, two R's, but Devin Durant. He played 63 games in the 1980s, averaged 5 points per game.
Okay.
Yeah, not as much of a bucket as Kevin Durant, but maybe he focused on D, and that's how he got the name.
Devin Durant. That's very funny. That's a good one. Anything else on your list?
Oh, I got a ton of them here. The Cavs have two good ones right now. Isaiah Mobley and Pete Nance. I do like Pete Nance. They're brothers. They're brothers to players who were on the team. But you see, like when Evan Mobley was hurt, you'd see Isaiah Mobley getting his minutes.
Yeah.
Playing the same position. Basically, that was a weird one. How about Garrison and Wes Matthews? I don't know who the knockoff is there.
Yeah.
But they're on the same team with the Hawks now. Garrison only has one T in his last name. Wes has both.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had a dad that played in the NBA. Reggie Jackson is a great off-brand player. He's the off-brand Reggie Jackson.
Of
Mr. October.
Mr. October. Okay,
yeah. Hitting the dingers. I'll just keep going. Yeah. Why not? Not Andrew Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah, I like that
That's
one.
A good one. A. Dot Wiggins. Both forwards.
You know what, though? I know Andrew Wiggins had a good game last night. Aaron Wiggins is not bad.
He's not bad.
He's not bad at all. He's is not to the level starter. Of Andrew Wiggins, a number one pick, a champion, and all that. But, yeah, it's off-brand, but not terribly off-brand.
All right, I got three more for you that are hilarious. There was there's Ray Allen, and then there was a guy named Allen Ray.
Yeah. Yep.
Great flip-flop. I love the threesome of Shaquille, Jermaine, and Royce O'Neal.
Wow.
He added an E at the end, but I think you, like we did that ABCs of players.
Yeah.
I think that would be the tiers there.
Yep.
And then finally, Eric Gordon and Aaron Gordon are knockoff Air Jordans.
They're all great. I knew you would come through on this. I got a few others to add. Jordan Crawford. He's a no-name Jamal Crawford.
Yes.
Right? Eric Barkley, the no-name version of Charles Barkley.
Great one.
And then my favorite, I thought you were going to include this. John Hot Plate Williams was no John Hot Rod Williams, I tell you that. His girth earned him the nickname Hot Plate Williams.
Hot Plate.
To help distinguish him from John Hot Rod Williams of the Cavaliers, who both guys played college basketball in Louisiana and both came in the draft at the exact same year in 86. We had a Hot Rod Williams, we had a Hot Plate Williams, both named John Williams. That's crazy.
That's actually messed up.
It's wild.
That's like Jalen Williams and Jalen Williams. They came in the draft the same year. They went to the same team, but we're just giving them the same nickname.
Yeah.
J-Dub and J-Will. We got to get We got something about this. Yeah. I mean, they're different sizes, so I don't know how that factors in, but man, Hot Plate, that's
and
one of the
I
funniest
think,
nicknames of all time.
I think John Hot Plate Williams, the girthier man, he was the higher pick in that draft. I think the better player, though, was Hot Rod Williams, the Cavaliers yeah, version. So that's fascinating. So I was also looking at cards last night, and I didn't remember this name, and it just made me laugh. Do you remember the player named Dijon Thompson? Because I didn't.
The Mustard Man?
Yeah, the Mustard Man himself, Dijon Thompson. He played 2 years in 05 and 06. He was, I guess he played for the Suns and he played for the Hawks for a, you know, a cup of coffee
Dijon
with both teams.
Thompson.
I didn't remember this guy, but apparently you can buy his card in an auction. Who's buying Dijon Thompson? I guess maybe you need to complete a set.
Yeah, it goes great on a sandwich with OJ Mayo.
Oh, there you go. Next one from Giuseppe. Hey, guys. We see various in-arena promotions for things like the away team scoring under 100 points or opponents missing two straight free throws. I think it's time in-arena promotions start rewarding the fans when a wedgie happens. What promotional material should be given out in the event a wedgie happens at an NBA arena? Again, that's from Giuseppe. That's a fun question. What do you think of his cue there? And just in his opinion, hey, a wedgie happens. We should be celebrating it in these arenas.
He's exactly right.
100%.
And we need, not that there's a bad connotation to wedgies, but we need something to happen when a wedgie happens, because currently when it happens, it's like time stands still. You're like, oh,
right.
What? Oh,
right.
The ball is stuck. Oh, we got to go, blah, 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 blah. But what if there was a huge cheer because
yep.
you get free food? People go crazy for free food with the missed free throws in the fourth quarter. Here it's Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. You might get some chicken.
Right.
I think it's Wingstop in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So I was trying to think of like wedgie foods.
Oh.
It's like either a wedge salad.
Okay.
Get you a free wedge salad from the Capitol Grill.
I can't say I'd be going nuts for that, but all right.
Yeah. I mean, I do love a wedge salad. But I can't see people getting that fired up when it happens.
Yeah.
But potato wedges. That might be the thing.
That's it.
KFC will
throw
in potato wedges.
Yeah. 100%.
100%. Cheese. A wedge of cheese.
Sure.
Milwaukee.
Oh, a wedge
They just
of cheese.
Hand it out as you're leaving. There was a wedgie tonight, so here's your wedge of camembert or something like that. Yeah.
Take your cheese, please.
All right.
We got cheese.
Okay, so it's either a salad, some cheese, or some fries, basically.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, okay, I like the food idea. People love food. But what about some underwear falling from the sky?
Yeah. Some thongs.
Yeah, because what I like about that, it would look hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, fans would start like putting them on, like over their clothes.
Yeah.
There could be a thing where like a wedgie like turns the tide in a game, so it's almost like rally underwear, you know, because of the wedgie.
So we're talking tighty whiteys descending like on parachutes.
Little parachutes. Just like they do with t-shirts and other things they drop from the rafters. And then just see the hilarity that will ensue.
Yeah,
I mean, they'd have to be on it, though. Like, a bunch of people with underwear.
Oh, yeah. Go, go, go!
Release the wedgies!
The game is happening. Yeah. They're, like, getting wedgies ready to do the tip-off. Well, underwear falling from the ceiling.
Some arena should do this, probably more along your lines, like of a promotion of sort. But like,
right.
Yeah, like, hey, you let the people know, hey, if a wedgie happens in this game. Now, would it have to be the home team? Or should it actually be the, well.
I think it's just in general.
It's a
wedgie
because it's a jump ball. Yeah. It's not like you lose the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody gets some Mack Weldon's.
There you go. Let's pitch it to them.
We just did.
All right. You think they're listening?
No.
Maybe to the ad read. All right. Next one. Final one. We'll call it our last one here. Greetings from Sweden. And a huge congratulations on reaching 100,000 subscribers. In the spirit of celebrating such a significant number, if you were to receive 100,000 of anything other than money or items that could be sold, what would you choose and why? It's from Alexander. By way of Sweden. I mean, maybe we've gotten an email from Sweden before? That might be a first. I don't know. Not often. So thank you, Alex. I struggled with this.
100,000 is a lot of things.
And things you can't sell.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's really putting us in a box here. But do you have an answer?
I was like, how nice would it be to have a fresh white t-shirt? 100,000 fresh white t-shirts. Ooh. They would last you 270 years. Wow. That's too many t-shirts.
So you know what? I like that thinking, though. Socks. I love new socks.
I knew you were going to say socks.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And I wear enough socks because, like, if playing basketball, mm-hmm. running, obviously just socks you're wearing throughout the day. Well, socks is... Now, I could sell them in theory, but I guess...
Not allowed. No, not allowed in this.
You got to use everything.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
You can take it down, too. I would accept 50,000 pairs of socks. That counts as 100,000
yeah.
socks to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for yeah, sure. Yeah. Now, it would be nice if they were delivered weekly, daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The storage is going to always be an issue. Yeah.
And you can pick the style, like, every week or whatever. Or
sure, surprise
otherwise,
me.
You know, 100,000 white tubies, like... You're going to get...
No, I want a little variety. Oh, yeah, I want some warmer socks for the winter. I obviously want
some no-shows.
I want some basketball socks. I want some running socks. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Socks. Mix it up. What, do you have another answer, JD?
Yeah. 100,000 minutes of vacation a year. I had a great time on my vacation. There was no kids, no wife. I was just playing pickleball every day. That's 69.4 days extra of vacation. That sounds nice.
So you're looking at 2.5 months ish.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So next contract.
You're gonna ask for 100,000 hours of vacation.
100,000 minutes of vacation. It doesn't sound like that much.
It doesn't
actually
sound like that much.
So you just throw that in.
It doesn't, you're right. Yeah. That's why I think I went to hours and I'm like, hold on, that's not right. Yeah. 100,000 minutes you're saying is 2 months and change.
Yeah. Okay. 69.4 days.
Nice. And you want the vacation without your family.
No, they can come along. They can come along.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
You know, I'd spread it throughout the year.
How long do you think is too long for a vacation?
I think 14 days is too long, but 10 days is perfect.
Yeah, no, that's nice. It all depends what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It
depends what type of vacation you're doing.
I mean, if I'm
traveling,
like...
traveling, seeing everything.
Yeah, if I'm doing Italy and Greece, I could easily do 2.5 months doing that. Easily. Yeah, yeah.
But maybe just a resort, a beach. And it starts to... get a little bored after.
Yeah.
I would even argue a week's long at a resort if you're just living that beach life.
Yeah.
I'm fine with a 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah. Don't underestimate my ability to chill.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 months off, I would go to Hawaii and just stay for a month.
Right. Yeah.
And sure. If you pick up that, like... But that to me feels... You're living in Hawaii. That's not...
Right.
That's not vacation. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
That's long enough to like learn how to surf. You could actually learn how to surf in a month.
100%.
Let's do it. Let's just take a month off, guys. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
100,000 waves, bro.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. That's very good. All right. Good question. Fun cues there in a little beach step in. Let's hear your answers. Leave them in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. One more break. It's a quickie. When we come back, a crazy tweet of the night from Worldwide WAP.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, before we go, tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Just an unhinged tweet from our guy, Worldwide Wob, yesterday. Just out of the blue, says ranking NBA teams by how dangerous they are. And for the podcast listener, we are showing all 30 teams and then ranked in order of how dangerous they are according to Worldwide Wob and sort of his reasoning. And now I'm not going to read them all. I'm not going to do that to you. But the top five dangerous teams, according to Wob, the Sun, he says, obviously. It's very powerful. Magic, very mysterious. Wizard, Magic Welders. Rocket, could blow up.
Magic Wielders.
Wielders, sorry. Sorry, I read that wrong.
They're sick mechanics.
Yes, sorry. Fix anything. Magic Wielders. And then the Heat, number five, causes strokes. So then it goes on from there. Okay. The Knicks are in last, like Nick, which are just pants.
Pants.
Knickerbockers. But a lot of people had issues with sort of where, I guess, a couple of the teams ranked. Probably starting with a Bull. Mm. And then right beneath them, a Timberwolf. An apex predator. And then a Raptor. And then a Grizzly Bear. I would say a lot of people are like, "What? Where? Look where you have these. They're way too low. You've got them below a trailblazer, someone <Right. laughs> who's just tough to kill on the Oregon Trail, you know? So, like, I sort of agreed with that, but, you know, he had comebacks for a lot of people. You know, people were saying, a raptor, you have a dinosaur? That should be top 10 easily. He's like, a raptor was not what it was in Jurassic Park. It's like basically a chicken.
So do well, he also calls it 40 pounds of hell, a raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, if a 40-pound dog came at you...
you'd be scared.
You'd be terrified. More terrified than a trailblazer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, probably. Okay, what do you think of Wob's list? And do you take any issues with some rankings?
I think Heat is too high.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got
Heat stroke is a concern.
Sure.
But also, you often recover from a heat stroke. So I probably would have had it below the Warrior, who is skilled in combat, and the Cavalier, who is skilled in swords.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I think those should get bumped up a little, personally.
Agree.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think Nugget should be number one. Sun, put it in the middle. I mean, the Sun, okay, you can get a burn, can cause cancer. But over, like, years and years, it's not that dangerous. Just get some sunscreen and you're fine. Right. And if it goes out, we're screwed, right? Magic, number two, that should be below pants, in my opinion.
Yep. Honestly, it's a great take. Magic and Wizard should probably be at the bottom.
Get out of here.
It's not real.
Exactly. And a piston? Sorry. Sure? He's got a piston above a Bull.
Yeah.
A piston is a car part.
Yeah.
It's nothing without the rest of the car.
Yeah, he's thinking piston and pacer. He's almost putting those two together to create the automobile that he says can drive over all these other animals.
You can tell Wob isn't driving in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Because he's got cars over bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes the other way in my experience.
He does say, he does note that gore potential from the buck kills pacers and pistons by simply standing in the way. So he at least notes
okay,
that.
I guess
so
he does. Maybe
he's
does.
On board, but he still has them quite low. So hold on. You said Nugget.
Nugget, higher.
Number one.
Number one.
And now he says it makes humans start wars.
Well, he's not wrong about that. And he's also...
dangerous.
There's nothing more destructive in our society than war. And almost every single war has been either fought because of gold or has been won or lost because of gold. With the exception of maybe the English Napoleonic Wars where the England went off the gold standard, went into incredible debt... But still, gold was a factor. You know what I'm saying? Like our entire financial structure is based on gold, or at least started with gold. We're off the standard now. But anyways, that should be absolutely number one.
Well, it sounds like then you would feels like King and Warriors would be right there with that.
Yeah,
obviously going hand in hand with that power
two and
struggle.
Three. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
If we're talking about human existence.
All right.
Also. Totally off topic, but
yeah,
he's
all right.
Pelicans, he says, are cannibals? Is that?
I didn't know that.
Is that true?
Didn't know that.
They eat other pelicans?
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I thought they just gulped fish.
Do pelicans?
I can't not picture a pelican in a pelican's like big jowly gullet. You know what I mean?
Maybe
like,
they just eat other birds?
Maybe.
Pelicans eating other birds, throwing them up alive, half digested,
ew,
to feed their offspring. Okay, that's pretty ruthless. Yeah,
okay,
they do eat other
they're
birds.
In the right spot here.
They eat pigeons okay. and stuff like that.
All
yeah.
right.
All right. Cool. The pelican, man. Scary.
Thunder he got right. Near the bottom.
Okay.
Just said scares dogs. That's true.
Not
that's
all
true.
Dogs even.
My dogs don't give a... You yeah. know what? If your dog is afraid of thunder, you're afraid of thunder. That's my theory.
They're picking
that's
up.
My hot take.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're supposed to do a lot of work with a dog that's afraid of thunder. Like, some are, some aren't, but... And probably for a number of reasons. They could have been a dog that was, like,
yep,
left
right.
outside,
that's true.
You know,
that's
when
true.
It was born. But, you're supposed to, like, walk them inside, like, calm them.
Yeah.
But there's something... I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
A lot of dog will pick up your emotions.
Your anxiety, sure.
It was thundering last night.
Yeah.
Were you scared? Any of you scared?
Absolutely not.
It's nah, quite the storm, though.
Yeah,
it was.
Nice storm.
It was crazy.
Real nice storm.
You know, it's yeah. a good storm when it wakes you up.
Is Luna
at least
afraid?
For me. Yeah, I never wake up from a storm, generally.
Is Luna afraid of
no,
thunder?
No, thank God.
Yeah. Thank what about God. Yams?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
She might be deaf now, though, at this point. She
doesn't know what's happening. All right, what a tweet from Worldwide Wob. Got the people talking. And debating and arguing. Good stuff there, Rob. All right, let's call it there. A reminder, tomorrow, our final live podcast of the week. We're going to call it The Drop. We're making it The Drop. So join us at 10 a.m. Eastern. We will have a No Buffs tomorrow afternoon for all you Survivor fans. That's back tonight. Get your picks in our No Buffs Fantasy Survivor pool over at Make Your Picks. And then on Friday, a fun film session with the directors of Handle With Care, which is an incredible new basketball documentary that I encourage you to go watch. Seek that out. Again, it's on a bunch of platforms. Handle With Care, look that up. And we'll drop that on Friday, and I can't wait to listen to that over the weekend, because I'm gone to Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Careful of the sun and the heat.
Well, apparently I'm told this race that's going to start on Saturday morning, it's going to be 30 to 40 Fahrenheit.
Oh.
I mean, cold. I mean, it's a desert.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks, though. There's nothing worse than that, because you got to bundle up, and you got to shed your clothing, and maybe I'll shed it during the race, because it'll get hot as the morning comes, the sun comes up, that damn sun.
Do you go back and retrieve your clothes?
Yeah, I was just
wondering
that.
To the game?
Well, you do two things. One, you do the bag at the beginning, so if I wait right until the last second, I could maybe take off the sweater, pants, whatever, put in the bag that has like your number to it, and then you pick it up at the end, like they drive it down.
Yeah.
Or, a lot of times what I do is I just bring a crappy sweater, crappy track pants,
sure.
and then you just they usually have like donation bins. You just mm-hmm. chuck it. You either chuck it to the side or you just chuck it in the bin, and people collect it if you don't throw it.
Okay.
So, looks like I'll be doing that. Might have to put a toque on.
Wow.
I hate getting cold. I don't want to be cold. As long as it doesn't rain.
Well, I don't think it's gonna rain.
I mean, I would have thunder higher because of the chances of rain. And thunder only happens when it rains, of course. So, okay. We will see you guys tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, you can go to socksbox.com/nodunks, and Skeets will mail you a pair of his used socks every week.
Brace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.